On a Tuesday afternoon, let's talk basketball. To do that, we turn to the source authority for such matters. From Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast, our friend John Corrales. Hey there, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Very well, thanks. How have you been since last we talked?
Oh, I've been great, man. I'm always great.
Summertime's here. Things a little bit slow, but always Celtics news, always things to talk about. And I love your piece, your farewell, your rest in peace to the Evan Fournier TPE.
Yeah, it expired, sadly. Last night, peacefully, in the books of the Celtics front office, surrounded by friends and family. The $17 million is an extension of the Gordon Hayward traded player exception. And now I think what the Celtics did is they essentially used the traded player exception in the form of acquiring Malcolm Brogdon. If they just did the same exact thing they would have done with the traded player exception, they just did it with players, guys that they probably would have cut if Brogdon was acquired via the TPE somehow, if he had fit into it, then a bunch of those guys would have been gone anyway. So six of one, half a dozen of the other, essentially. So it's gone. They're not using it. Using it would have meant significant tax implications right now. So I think they're kind of where they are for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, this run at the title, a trip to the finals this year, changes the way that they operate, but it also should change the way fans look at the roster and potential acquisitions.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said it, because it changes the way that they operate. The Celtics aren't operating like every team in the NBA doesn't work the same. Some teams, like the Indiana Pacers, who gave us Brogdon, are taking back young players and picks and trying to rebuild their franchise. So they're not operating the same way the Celtics are. Boston doesn't have as much need for the young guys. So I can see them not valuing the first round picks that they might have this year, next year, the year after even. And even guys like Juhan Bigaram, who was impressive in summer league, guys like that, guys like JD Davison, any of those guys who are young and may have some value. If another team sees value in them, then the Celtics could give them up. Probably should give them up if it means increasing their chances of winning now.
Speaking of summer league, who else distinguished themselves? Maybe raised their stock a little bit.
Well, Fiondo Cabangeli, obviously, because he got the second two-way contract. It's an interesting choice to give it to him. Not only I'm not kind of high on giving that to a big necessarily, but especially like a little bit of an older big, he's going to be 25, who's had a couple years in the NBA. It's just an interesting kind of use of the two-way slot. It kind of does make you wonder if the Celtics are trying to do something different rather than develop a player, kind of just add some depth there. I kind of look at it as I wonder if it's a little bit of a funny game going on there. But he did have a good summer league. Bengaron, like I said, had a pretty nice summer league. Matt Ryan, I thought, was really good in the few games that he played. And he ended up hurting himself and missed the last couple of games. You know, I thought he played well enough to earn a two-way spot. But, you know, we'll see what the Celtics do. We'll see if they keep him around. And you know, a 6'7 shooter that can pull up off the dribble is valuable. So we'll see what the Celtics do with him.
I had forgotten about this until you tweeted about it a couple of days ago, but two-way guys can't play in the playoffs.
Right, yeah. So there are rules. And the rules for the two-way is you know, it's constantly evolving. They, you know, it started out where they were really just making, like $80,000 or so. It was a somewhat glorified G League contract. But then circumstances changed, the pandemic changed, and things kind of circumstances dictated that they changed the rules a little bit. So now they are allowed to play in 50 regular season games, and they're allowed to make $500,000. They make $502,000. So a significant upgrade from what they had been making. However, there are still limitations. You can't play more than the 50 games. You can't play in the playoffs. So there's a give and a take, but it's become a very useful tool, not only for developing players, but I think the Celtics are partly using it to get Cavangeli in the mix as one of their third or fourth or fifth bigs, even just to expand the roster and give him some opportunity there and shore up their front court.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Now, you talked about this on the podcast, but who are a couple of not great free agent options at center that they might want to avoid?
You're not going to make me say the name, are you?
No.
I'll say it. Hassan Whiteside is one of the guys who just triggers a visceral reaction to me. I just don't think he's very good. I think he's a stat chaser, but you know, I have to follow my own advice when it comes to him and say guys on minimum contracts are really not that bad, no matter who they are, because generally speaking, you can kind of get rid of those guys and it's not really an issue. Now the Celtics do have a little bit of advance. You know, it's a little bit different for them because there are tax implications, and if the team is not keen on paying that extra tax, then they might want to make sure that the guy that they're signing is somebody that's going to stay and that they're going to be okay with staying. But he's a guy, Dwight Howard, those guys out there. Oof. Who are serviceable, but not great. But you can say, hey, you know what your role is. You're coming in here to be the third big. If you complain, we'll ship you out of here. And you're either in or you're out. If you don't want to play that role, that's cool. Tell us you don't want to play that role. You can go sign somewhere else. Not a big deal. But if you're coming here, that's what you're doing. That's the role that you're playing.
We've got a ways to go before preseason. But, John, who's one guy who needs to have a pretty good preseason to get himself more minutes?
Well, I mean, you got to look towards the bench. And a guy like Peyton Pritchard probably comes to mind because he's in a real, real crunch, and he has to show that he's stepped up his game, added to his game, defensively is a bit more capable. So I think he might be the number one guy just because he stands to miss out on the most minutes with the acquisition of Brogdon and, you know, still trying to figure out how to properly use Derek White. So a crowded backcourt, probably means Pritchard is kind of on the outside looking in. He would probably need to be the guy who needs to perform the best. But, you know, beyond that, you still want to see something from Grant Williams and, you know, what can he do? What can he add to his game? Those the guys on the bench who are, and look, even Sam Hauser. Sam Hauser is, you know, they put some money into him. He's got a guaranteed deal. Can he be, can he go out there in the preseason and hit a bunch of catch and shoot 3-pointers to say, okay, now we know that he's going to be one of our primary backup wings?
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, appreciate it as always. Hope you have a great week, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
All right, talk to you then.